Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome again to Higher Consciousness. I am your host, Professor Jamila Franklin, and this evening we have the wonderful opportunity to have on our show Miss Yolanda Neils, and I will bring her on in about 5 minutes. So I would like to thank each and every one of you who is joining us this wonderful summer evening. And as always, I give a brief introduction regarding Higher Consciousness. This is a show that is designed for people who want to have more information about metaphysics, spirituality, political and cultural topics. This is not a show for political debates. Instead, it is a show for enlightenment. And if you're interested in finding out more about cultural topics and social topics and metaphysical and spiritual topics, you have arrived at the right station. What I do as well is I go over information regarding the statistics. We have over 46,200 downloads, and we have had the show on the air since October 22nd, 2012. So in that short period of time, we've been able to have over 46,200 downloads of all of our shows. And I am so very, very thankful to each and every one of you for making this a reality. And if you miss any of our shows, you can still listen to our shows because each show is archived immediately after it is aired. So at 9:01, this show will then immediately become archived. And you can access this information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just by clicking on the link. And we invite you to come to listen to our on-demand episodes, which mean that title means past Higher Consciousness shows, and to invite your friends and your family members, coworkers as well, because we believe that they will definitely learn something new as they listen to the shows. We are beyond the summer solstice, so I know a lot of people are experiencing some energetic changes within their bodies, and that is something that is the result of the way the universe or the way this planet is evolving. So people are experiencing more aches and pains and feeling discomfort in their bodies, and that is because we're moving from carbon bodies to more crystalline bodies, and you will start changing your diet, and you will start changing a lot of things that happen that you've been doing in the past because you've shifted and you're changing. So I was in my metaphysics class this morning with Dr. Joyce Reynolds, a renowned metaphysician who also teaches the concept of scripting, which is writing your life out as you want it to be, which is very powerful, and it definitely works and has changed my life. And she had talked to us about how things are happening now on the planet and how people are changing from carbon bodies, heavy, dense bodies, and we're becoming lighter. So as your body goes through these energetic changes, you will experience it physically. And I just want to give some information, too. This coming Sunday will be my Earth Day birthday. Earth Day means the day which we incarnated on this planet, Earth. So Earth Day and birthday are the same thing. So I will celebrate this coming Saturday. I think it's a Sunday, but it's this coming Saturday, July 12th. Yay to fellow Cancerians out there. I just love my birthday. Unlike some women who try to suppress it and not talk about it, I relish in the fact that I was born on this planet. And every year I do something special for myself. And because it's so interesting that we would celebrate other people's birthdays, dead people's birthdays, like the dead president's birthdays, and not honor and celebrate our own. And I am letting the Most High God know that I am so appreciative of having this opportunity to walk in this planet. So send me some real good cheer on Saturday, July 12th, as I have a small gathering at my home with some close friends. So we're going to bring in my birthday style, and I'm so looking forward to it. Okay, so fellow Cancerians, or if anyone else out there is born on July 12th, well, I'm going to celebrate enough for you as well. Okay, so anyway, without further ado, this evening we're going to have a very, very, very interesting discussion about women and women's empowerment. We've had other people on the show to talk about the empowerment of women, and they've done an excellent job. Tonight, Yolanda Neils, Ms. Neils, is going to tell us about her journey and what led her to found this wonderful organization called the Red Panty Society. Okay, so she is going to give us information to help women who are struggling with themselves, because sometimes people think that if a woman is very, very successful, she has it all together. And that may not be the case. In a lot of cases, it is not the case. So what we're going to do tonight is give women of all races and all walks of life, regardless of the person's profession, some tools that they can use to feel empowered, to walk like the goddesses that they are, to walk like the queens that they are, and to feel very good in their own skin. Now, so join us this evening to learn about Yolanda Neils, this dynamic and energetic speaker who empowers women to step into their greatness. Yolanda Neils is a self-empowerment specialist who studied spiritual life coaching under the direct tutelage of Iyanla VanZant. Her specific area of impassioned expertise is driving others to live their best lives by courageously tapping into their natural talents and gifts while uncovering their innate willingness to create joy on their journey, bettering their lives regardless of their past experiences. Yolanda finds that women naturally gravitate to her transparency and willingness to share her own stumbling blocks and successes. She is the founder, visionary, and CEO of the Red Panty Society, which is a new social enterprise created to empower women to love and accept themselves with a deep level of into me, I see, which she broke down the word intimacy, and I like this, into me, I see. Yolanda has teamed up with 4 other female writers, and is currently preparing to release their first urban self-help book entitled Dear Yvette, Shattered Fairy Tales, An Urban Girl's Journey to Self-Love and Acceptance, which is based on Yolanda's real-life experiences. and she has some contact information for us here. So for those of you who are in the audience who would like to talk to Yolanda, please feel free to call us at 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, please call us at 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. And I am one of four advisors whom Yolanda has identified to work with women of all ages over the phone using like a teleseminar medium. Once each advisor has 1 week per month, and we are providing assistance to these women over the phone. So I think what she's doing is extremely beneficial and very helpful, and I think that women in the audience, listening audience, will really, really benefit from being a part of her audience on Sunday evening, so she can give us more information about that. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on Yolanda. Greetings, Yolanda. How are you?
Greetings, Jamila. I am wonderful. Thank you for having me on your show tonight.
You're very welcome. Thank you for agreeing to be on the show. Tell us, when I first saw the word Red Panty Society, I was like, what in the world? So I had no clue as to what it was. I said, what is this? Is this something lewd? What is it? I had no clue. So why don't you explain to our listening audience what it is, how you came up with this wonderful concept, and how it can be beneficial to women.
Sure. Well, after studying with the Yamla, or during studying my study with the Yamla, I learned a lot about the chakra energy centers in the body and became very interested and how we really have the power to tune our own selves and align our own selves with our greatest desires of our own hearts by, you know, and the chakra energy centers are tools to be able to do so. But the first chakra center in the body, of course, you know, is the root chakra, which is governed by the color red and really is in that panty area. So using my marketing background, which I have been blessed to really be coy with play on words for a long time, it was myself and another Cancerian woman who came up with the concept of Red Panty Society. The red we break down to me to stand for receiving empowerment divinely. And what I mean by that is so often we are blessed with information and messaging in our surroundings that we ignore or don't obey or, you know, just don't tap into that can evolve us to the next level of our lives. Instead, many of us are myopically focused on a certain kind of doctrine or dogma, and anything outside of that they don't really care to hear, or there's so much judgment and stereotype on it that they can't receive what could be beneficial for them for with information coming outside of those arenas. So receiving empowerment divinely for me means that if you're open and ready to receive, you can get what you need. A child can come up and say something that is an aha moment for you. You can see a rock in the road that speaks to your soul, the trees, the wind, the birds, a girlfriend, a stranger could have something that you could utilize to take your mind, your body, and your spirit to another level. But we have to be ready and open to receive that.
That is so true.
And then the panty piece is really powerful for me because so many of us women especially are striving to manifest our desires on foundations that are unstable. on, you know, we go after the money or we go after the man or we go after the career, but we haven't sustained our own selves first in order to be successful and evolving with those things that we say we want in terms of the man, the money, and the career as examples. And so the Red Panty Society was designed and developed to bring us as women back to ourselves to strengthen our own foundation, to build a level of security within ourselves, a level of assuredness about ourselves, a level of confidence within ourselves that wherever we take ourselves and wherever we manifest or bring into our lives for ourselves, we can sustain because we're stable and we're not relying on things outside of us to stabilize us.
Very true, very true. And that's what happens a lot of times. We look outside of ourselves. Like I had mentioned earlier, the metaphysics class that I go to on Mondays is very good for me because I'm always emptying out and I need to get fed sometimes. And one of the principles that she talked about, Joyce talked about, was that the higher power is within us and we keep looking outside of us for the answers and for validation. And because the media pushes women in that direction to say you need validation and you need validation from men and you need validation from the media as to who is beautiful and what is beautiful, all of those things. So I think what you're doing is really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that you invited me to be a part of it as an advisor. So let's let's talk about your personal journey. I want the listeners to hear about your personal journey, if you want to share that.
Okay. Sure. I am originally from a place called Kalamazoo, Michigan, which I happen to be home for the first time in 4 years now, visiting with my family. And ironically, Kalamazoo is one of the richest cities in the nation. It's like amongst the top 10. Because we have a lot of the pharmaceutical money here, a lot of the Kellogg and money from the medical community. And one would think, coming from one of the richest cities in the nation, that all would be well. But our city is very divided between the haves and the have-nots. Mm-hmm. And I grew up on the have-not side. I grew up to two teenage parents. My mother was 16 when she got pregnant with me. My father was 18 at the time. They got married right after she had me and then had two other children. And then just got into the rat race of becoming young adults with the family and did their best. But that, you know, was quite a struggle for them, and they divorced when I was 4, which then turned my mom into a single mother of 3 small children, and she went to work in a factory, which was considered a good job at the time to take care of us as a single parent. But a lot of that work, and it caused her to have to work 12, 18-hour days, 6-7 days a week, mandatory work shifts, which left us in need of supervision a lot. And she had my father's mother and her father available to buffer a lot of the raising of us. But she really needed a partner to be able to sustain her household. And as a result of her working so much, I found myself in a position growing up very young, very fast. As the oldest child of the 3, I was always responsible for the well-being of my siblings. And I found myself responsible for my mother's well-being quite a bit because she was exhausted. She, you know, was hardworking, and she was also trying to figure it out because she was young with me. we just paired up in a sense and kind of ran the household. That provided me with a lot of the strength and the knowledge and the common sense that I have today. But it also robbed me in a sense of a childhood because I had to grow up so fast. And my mother doing the best that she could to provide supervision for us. She had a younger brother who's 3 years older than I am, who was in a lot of trouble as a juvenile. He was also unmanaged, unsupervised, and really much a delinquent. And to help him out and to kind of cure her babysitting needs, she moved him in with us. And shortly after that, he molested me. I was 11 years old when he started molesting me. And that just really made things chaotic and confusing as a young girl, having that kind of interaction. And it lasted for about 3 or 4 years, ongoing, constantly, without my mother knowing about it at the time. And we, in the 80s, as a child, I was born in 1969, and I was going into my teen years during the 80s, and the crack epidemic that swept the nation also reached the richest city in the nation. And both of my parents got consumed in that epidemic. My mother lost her job, and as well as a long-time relationship with a man who I believe was the love of her life. And her way of dealing with that was turning to drugs. She became addicted to crack. And so by age, 13, 14, I was really responsible for the household. By the time I turned 16, there was so much drug infestation in my home because my uncle was selling drugs, my mother was using drugs, my brother was following in my uncle's footsteps, and it was just what they call, the kids call it the trap today, and it really was a trap in terms of the environment that it I was surrounded in. And so I made a decision. I've always had this inner voice guiding me through all of this. And this inner voice has kept me sane through a lot of insanity. And what the inner voice said to me then is, you got to leave this. You're either going to get swallowed up in this or you're going to have to leave it. And so at 16, I got my own apartment with another girlfriend who was also 16, who our mothers were like really good friends, and our households were very familiar, very similar. Her parents sold drugs as well, and there was some incest going on in her household as well. And so we just teamed up to escape it and posed as college students and ended up getting an apartment while we were still in high school. We went to school during the day, and we worked part-time jobs during the evening, and we paid our bills, and we lived together for about a year until it was exposed that we were underage, and we were asked to leave the apartment, which returned me back to a lot of the chaos. But through all of that, one muscle that was strengthened was my compassion muscle. Even though I was really disappointed in the choices that both my parents made, my father wasn't addicted to drugs. He was addicted to alcohol at that time, and he was very angry. He was always in rage on some level, and he was in and out of jail a lot when I was a child. I just still seem to have some level of compassion for him. With my mother being on drugs, and her drug use escalated to her intravenously using and just really being out there really bad. We joke today She's been clean and sober, off of drugs now for 26 years this year. And we are very good friends. She's my shero, absolutely. And we talk about a little bit of everything, but we joke and say she was Halle Berry on Jungle Fever with the grocery cart pushing it down the street back then, because it's gotten that bad. And even in those moments of having to go and pull my mother out of drug houses, really fearing for her life, really watching her trying to, on many levels, take her own life with the drugs, I always had this level of love and compassion for her. I was angry. There were moments where I was angry about the situation, but I was always in love with her and always praying and wishing and hoping and supporting her to the best that I could to get better. And that lives in me today, that level of compassion for other people, regardless to what they're going through, and the ability to see a spirit in them that is divine outside of the flesh and, you know, what may be showing up on them in the flesh. I have ability to love people unconditionally, and I thank my mother for that. It's weird to think that one would thank others for negative experiences, but I thank my mother, because what came out of that is a strong sense of our ability to have a deep level of compassion for people and meeting people where they are. And because I was also there during my mother's recovery, and I've been there with her on the other side of it. Like I said, it's been 26 years now. I'm a strong believer that people, you just don't throw people away. You just don't write people off, that people really have the ability to evolve and become what they came here to become. And, those are great lessons that I learned in my journey thus far between my mother and my father. Yeah. So, I because I believe in people, I believe that we all came to this planet with a purpose, etched in our souls to be a contributor to this. We're a contributor to this planet in a way that we help to evolve it once we are realigned and connected with our purpose in life. I have decided to use my life to help people make that reconnection, get connected, because I believe in that shift that you were talking about. In fact, I started feeling the shift strongly about 2007. And I was in the height of my training under Iyanla, and the recession, it was before the recession had been declared in this country, but there was so much shifting going on, like Katrina, Hurricane Katrina had just happened the year before, and so many lives had been shifted, not just the lives of the people in New Orleans, but the whole world, especially this country. So many things that we took for granted, our perceptions and our connections to them were being shifted. Things, material things that meant so much to us were being really almost taken from us, which was shifting our perception and our connections to them. And out of that shift that I so strongly felt that I was even having to make my own decisions about. I had recently married the love of my life, who's also a Cancer, our relationship had been shifted after we had been together for about 5 or 6 years before we actually got married. We were only married a year before. Our relationship was just shifted like a tornado had hit it, and we couldn't understand it. And so I went into deep reflection. I went into a very application-oriented phase where I had just learned all this information via Iyanla's Institute, and now it was an opportunity to apply a lot of it to my own life. And in the application of those tools and those processes, the Red Panty Society, or the concept for the Red Panty Society, was born. Because I was like, you know, I think women are going to need this, information, these tools, this, you know, because a lot of stuff, a lot of people braced themselves for me to fall apart when my husband and I separated. I left my husband in 2007, and we divorced in 2010, and that three-year period was very reflective for me, very introspective for me. And when a lot of people were expecting me to fall apart because the finances had gone awry, my relationship was, you know, all over the place, and I ended up moving to another state with my child and having to live with somebody for the first time ever, there was so much going on, but using those tools kept me calm. Kept me focused, kept me able to, you know, just tune into what I desired and really muffle everything else, you know, just kind of tune out the white noise outside of what I wanted on my heart. And I became very optimistic about life at a time when people were losing their minds. They were very afraid and fearful and pessimistic about life. I was smiling and happy, and it was genuine because I was breathing, doing the breath work. I was meditating daily. I was doing the affirmations. Things that I learned through that process are simple things that we can do to offset the depression and the anxiety that comes with the fear of change. And, you know, with big changes that things like the recession brought on and my marriage falling apart brought on, those are the times when women in particular, but people in general, tend to really fall apart. And through that process, I learned that we don't have to fall apart. We can actually take that opportunity and that time to fall in place. And that's what the Red Panty Society represents, the opportunity to fall in place, to go deep within yourself and to excavate everything that you've been told or you've been taught or you've learned that does not serve you and your highest good, that does not support your heart's desire. And as you're excavating those things out, making room for the new stuff that you get to learn about yourself, that you get to enjoy about yourself, the process can be done joyfully, happily, with a smile on your face. That's genuine.
I think
and it can
so
be
powerful.
Done collectively.
I think that's so powerful what you're sharing, because women and men, a lot of people are going through the shift, as I mentioned before, and as you so eloquently gave some examples, because what happened to you to a greater extent happened to Iyanla. You know, she had the perfect life and the love of her life and fell apart. Her daughter died. She filed bankruptcy. Her house, I think, went into foreclosure. Everything supposedly just fell apart in her life. And she stopped and began to do some self-reflection and found out that those things were happening for her, not to her. As you and I think sometimes the universe is calling on us to come forth to give our greatest testimonies as a result, because things seem to be really, really interesting and really, really crazy. So And like you said, you had tools to fall back on. And that's the purpose of the show this evening, to give women some tools who are experiencing traumatic situations and don't know where to turn. And so many women now are suffering in silence, especially if they are the heads of the household and everyone looks to them for the answers. So where do they go just to fall apart and put themselves back together again? There's no place of solace for them. So having a radio show like this is an excellent way for them to be able to share their stories in a space of non-judgment, because we wouldn't judge. We'll just be there, be a listening ear, and coach them to greater awareness. I think that's really, really, really important.
Yes, so it's one of the things that's really I've found that really clouds the journey is judgment. The judgment that we hold about ourselves and therefore then project onto everybody else. Once we can get past the judgment, releasing the judgment, once we can do the work that helps us release the judgment, we will find the compassion. We'll be connected to the compassion that we need for ourselves to grow and therefore be able to give it or share it, have compassion for others. That's a big thing that I found amongst women, people in general, because the judgment keeps us from seeing other individuals as being. Instead, we fall into the stereotypes, or we fall into the judgment that we've created about this individual we haven't had. We haven't even said hello, and we've already predetermined who, what, what they are. And so that has provided a huge disconnect in our community of communities across the country. And the other one is forgiveness. The two tools are compassion and forgiveness for me that I use the most. Forgiving ourselves for judging ourselves and others, and forgiving others for the transgressions or the experiences that brought us the pain along the journey. And judgment is a big one. Judgment is one that it is so easily blocking the opportunity for us to love and to grow and to evolve.
It really is. And sometimes, as you said, sometimes people judge, and then, particularly if they are teachers, then they don't want, they then become angry with themselves for judging. And so it becomes cyclical. You judge, and then you get angry with yourself for judging, and then you can't get out of it because you don't forgive yourself for having judged. It is just a process. Like I say to myself, I love myself so much. Like I said, with my birthday, I choose not to celebrate the birthdays of dead presidents before my birthday. I'm alive and well. So why would I take off time to celebrate their birthday and I do the same thing for my own? And so, but, and I'm kind and gentle with myself. That was the process. When I make mistakes, I tend not to really belabor the point like I used to in the past. I tend to look at it for what it is and then move forward.
That was beautiful how you opened up the show talking about your celebration of yourself. I was like, man, I'm going to start doing that. I mean, I'm one of those people who celebrates everybody else and make sure I, you know, call, contact, and honor and show reverence for other people. And then my birthday just kind of comes and goes. But you're right. I mean, and that's so Red Tanny Society-ish in terms of putting ourselves back at the top of the pedestal and the totem pole. Like, why would you do for other people what you wouldn't do for yourself? And it's not until we ask ourselves that question that, you know, we kind of get that frown in the middle of our forehead saying, yeah, why would we? But we're so busy doing, because we've been so socialized and cultivated to do as women for other people, that we tend to bring up the rear, if at all, with ourselves all the time. And so we're really here to shift that, to change that. And I'm so excited to have you as one of the Red Advisors, because you get it. Like, you totally get putting yourself first, which is important in order to be able to give it.
I really do. And I do not have any qualms about telling people when my birthday is coming and inviting them to be part of the celebration, because I'm very, very thankful that the Creator allowed me to come to this planet to have this experience, and I'm very thankful to my parents for my choosing them and coming through them. So I'm very, all of my friends will say, oh, she loves her birthday. I say, yeah, I do. I really, and I tell everybody, July 12th is my birthday. July 12th is my birthday. I said, come on, let's have a good time. You know, let's be excited about it. And sometimes I think people tend to think that if they're not celebrating, if they celebrate their birthdays and think very highly of themselves, then that's being arrogant. And I don't give that any energy. I just think that I am so happy to be on this planet at this time, and I want to share that happiness with everyone who is interested in sharing that reality with me. And if they're not interested in it, then, oh, well, that's fine, too. But I think it's just, and people really look at me and say, wow, she is such a hoot, because I give myself surprise birthday parties. I've done it, too. And I send out invitations.
That's cute.
And send out invitations telling people, shh, you know, it's a surprise. Don't tell me, you know. don't tell me about it. Just, you know, this is the time and the place. And people find it hilarious. But I'm really, really the longest on this planet. And Maya Angelou said this on a Super Soul Sunday interview that Oprah had. It was her last one before she transitioned. She said, early on I thought 50s were phenomenal. And then I turned 60 and I said, oh my gosh, I never knew it could be this good. And then, you know, she was just so poetic. And then she said, then I turned 70 and I said, it's getting better and better. And my 80s, I said, oh my, you can't get any better than this. So she was celebrating.
I saw that.
Yeah, celebrating her life. And I think women have been told that if you really enjoy yourself and enjoy being in your skin, then you're being conceited. And people have bought into that, so they play themselves down. And I know you've seen it. Marianne Williamson has this quote that our greatest fear is not that it's not what we think it is. I can't remember correctly, but our greatest fear is that we are so powerful and that we then tend to dim our lights down because we're afraid of being that powerful and that wonderful. So so with the Red Panther Society, I think it's really important because women are giving, as I said, the space and that opportunity to talk about things that are of interest to them and to receive support and not feel as though they're being judged.
That's right. This really is a movement of self-love and self-acceptance. And it's a collective movement, because what we find is that when we share our stories, and that's why we wrote this book. This book is a catalyst to inspiring more women to step up to the mic and share their stories. What we find is we're not alone. This really is more common than it is not. I don't care how tragic or how non-tragic your story is. There's a lot more of women like you out there sharing the same story. And so that alone lessens the need to judge. That alone, you know, a lot of times the judgment is a defense mechanism. I'm going to judge you before you can judge me. But when we get together and we're really realizing that we are one of the same, Iyanla has an awesome quote that I love to share, which is, "I am not my sister's keeper, I am my sister." That is so true. Like, we, once you get into a collective of the same stories, you realize that you really are of the same spirit, that you have a lot of the same desires, which is to evolve and grow into your highest and greatest good, that you want good for yourself. And the truth is, you really desire good for other people. But we're so caught up in defending what we think others might say and being in that defensive posture that we don't get a chance to see the love a lot. And when you get to a point of loving yourself and accepting yourself every step of your journey and understanding that things have happened for us and not to us, as you shared earlier, it doesn't matter what other people think. It's not about being in that defensive posture anymore. You're just regal. You're just shining. You're just excited to be where you are and looking forward to the next step.
Exactly.
So that, you know, that's what we're hoping, the self-love and acceptance piece. Just start with yourself, because when you get to love yourself, everything else falls right into place. That's how you fall into your purpose and your passion, because it comes out of that love that you have for yourself. And, you know, radical forgiveness is what changed me and I say it saved my life, because it was, you know, there's that traditional sense of forgiving people where it's like, okay, I know you did me wrong and I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget about it. And the truth is, I really don't forgive you, because every time I'm reminded of it, I'm back at you for what you did. It's still got the heat on it. But once I got with Tim Kennedy and learned the radical forgiveness aspect of forgiving, that everything happens for a reason, and it doesn't happen to us but for us, and that some of the best rape counselors were once raped. Some of the best drug counselors used to be on drugs. Some of the best teachers had to go through certain things in order to learn that and be able to teach it as well as they do. I was able to embrace what happened to me. And so as an empowerment specialist, one of the things that makes me as effective as I've become is that women can relate, because I'm transparent and willing to say that did happen to me. And I'm not angry about it. In fact, that I embrace that having happened to me, because that got me here. And I am totally in love with here, with where I am right now in my life. I, you know, Maya Angelou said, "I would not change anything or take anything to go backwards," or something like that. I am so there. Like, I am here, because this is where I was divinely designed to be right now. I look at my life as a divine assignment.
And that takes patience, and it takes plugging away. Because a lot of times when things happen in our lives, the ego and quick response is to look outside of ourselves, or to blame situations, and to use them as the reasons for or excuses for our being stuck. So when we're able to step back and see that those things are part of the journey, and I have an even more involved philosophy of looking at life, I think that we are contracted to come here to do what we're currently doing, and we all, as disembodied beings and spirits, said we would do X, Y, and Z to each other so we could each get to our soul lesson. But when we come here, we forget that, and then we personalize things. It doesn't feel good, so then we personalize it and exempt ourselves from any responsibility.
I believe that too. I do a lot of work around astrological natal chart reading. I interpret the sun, the moon, the rising, Venus, Mars, and North Node for people. Basically saying, you know, this is how you think, this is how you feel, this is how you give and receive love, and this is your divine purpose in this, you know, in your life right now. And I do that, and I have a lot of joy in doing that, and as a means to reconnect people back to what they agreed to come here to do in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that saying it that way is a little heavy for people who are just kind of getting back on the journey. And
right.
But, you know, bottom line is it's easy for – they always, like, it's a big aha moment for them, like, yeah, that's absolutely right. I've always wanted to do that or I felt like that. But people tend to only be connected to their sun sign, if at all. And that's only 10% of who we are. It just governs how we think. And you think based on how you feel. If you're not feeling something, then you're going to think that you're not feeling it. You know. So people tend to get a joy out of learning more about themselves. I learned that through doing the interpretations with an astrological natal chart reading. So that also was inspiration for me with the Red Panty Society and wanting to reconnect women back to ourselves. They get a kick out of going into them, that into me I see. When you know what you bring to the table, then you know what you need at the table in terms of partnership, regardless if it's a romantic partnership or a professional partnership or a friendship. When you know what you bring to the table, then you know what should sit in those other seats at the table. But so often, we don't even know what we bring to the table. We're so busy relying on the other seats at the table to tell us who we are. And then when they do tell us who we are, we get mad at them because that's not what we wanted to hear from them. We just stay unstable because, you know, we don't want to hear the truth. We don't really know the truth. We're not ready to accept the truth. And so we're constantly in battle with ourselves. And it looks like other people outside of ourselves, but those are your battles with yourself. And so it's just about taking some time to sit with yourself to really begin to tell the truth. And that was one of the big things that happened with me at Inner Visions for Spiritual Development, which is Iyanla's institution. The first rule of business was to get honest, to tell the truth. And so for many years, even though I had that harsh upbringing, my friends didn't know that. My relationships didn't allow them to be privy to that. Even now in writing this book, there's so much information in terms of details that my mother didn't even know because she was working. And when she had stopped working, she was high. She was on drugs. So there's a lot of experiences that she wasn't even privy to. So I lived this very masked life as a young adult. And I speak well. I'm intelligent. I'm a hard worker. I have a lot of passion. And so it was easy for me to wear a mask that would not lend people to even want to inquire about my past. But putting on that mask and moving about my life in that day-to-day didn't change the circumstances of my past. It didn't change my past being my past. And so what would happen is my relationships would be stunted. I would only let people get so close to me. I would only allow myself to go so far. I would not complete things because the more you do something, the closer people get a chance to really get to the real you. And for about 10 or 15 years, I was just kind of here today, gone tomorrow. Long enough, I would stay long enough to leave a good impression on people. But when I felt like they were going to find something out that might blemish or tarnish that impression, I was out of there. And so there's a lot of men who woke up and did see me the next day. There's a lot of relationships that you know, wish that we could have had better relationships, but I was afraid of people finding out the truth about me until I got to Inner Vision and was taught how to embrace my own truth and how to release the judgment that I had about me that I just suspected other people would have as well. And when I tell you, the first attribute that I received at the Institute was courage, and it was I used that attribute to dive deep into who I was to find the truth. The second attribute that I received was surrender, and the moment I came in contact with the truth, I learned how to surrender to it. The third attribute that I received at the Institute was acceptance. And so once I surrendered to the truth of who I was, I then worked on accepting it for its truth. And then the last attribute and my interactions with the Yama that I received a couple of years ago, I think it's been a couple of years, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, was excellence. Because now that I have had the courage to surrender and accept the truth of who I am, it's time to fly. Like, there's no weight on me anymore. I am able to flap my wings and go and do and be whatever my heart desires, because I'm not carrying all that old stuff. And that's why I wrote the book. We wrote the book as a journey through my life of being victimized, becoming a victimizer, and then being able to surrender and accept all those things about me to release it and fly, you know, love myself. And I wish that
that's powerful
for all women, all people. But I think when women, when we get back to ourselves, everything else is going to align on this planet. A large part of the planet being in disarray, I believe, is because we are in disarray. We are off kilter. We are off.
Definitely.
You know, it's like the global warming thing. You know, Mother Nature is either pissed off or bipolar right now. Because she's off, you know, it's just a little off. And so there's some things that we can do to help her, just like there's some things that we can do to help ourselves. And they're not major things, you know, like separating your plastic from the rest of your pile is not a major thing, but it helps. Just like taking some deep breaths or spending 10 minutes in solitude or attending a meditation class. Those aren't major things, but they help. They help in major ways. And, you know, those are the things that we're looking to empower women with through the Red Panty Society.
Wow. That is so powerful. That is so powerful because
I think what you
said is so on point about a lot of women not wanting people to see them for who they really are and not wanting to be transparent. And for me, I know I, Cancerians are like that. We tend to go into our shells. We don't like people knowing the core of who we are. And that's not being secretive. It just doesn't feel good. I've always been like that. And my thing is it's on a need-to-know basis. I will tell you what you need to know. Otherwise, to me, it becomes gossip, and people tend to run their mouths about it. So I'm like, you need to know this information for this piece, but everything else you don't really need to know. And I've seen people unintentionally just talk about people's personal business. And I'm like, that's not cool. But so I commend people who can just tell their story, because I think that's really admirable. And I also tell people that be okay with it if it gets out in a way that's distorted, and be okay with it if you choose not to self-disclose everything. Because sometimes your inner wisdom is telling you this is not a safe place to talk about this. And it won't be used in the light in which you're giving it. And I'm learning that now about certain things, like sharing good news about things. Sometimes I'm holding things pretty close to me, not because I think that people would do anything negative or whatever. But it's just like unless I can determine that it will be useful for them to have that information, then I tend not to disclose it. But I think what you're saying is so, so powerful. If anyone would like to talk to Yolanda, please, please give us a call. The call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. This dynamic young woman is giving us a lot of information that can be used by any of you out there to start dealing with the shadow parts of who we are, the shadow selves, the parts that we don't like to admit to when we look into the mirror, the parts that we keep stuffing and pushing away because it doesn't make us feel good. And we tend to say, oh, okay, it will go away. No, it keeps resurfacing. And it's there for a reason for us to look at it so we can heal it. And I think that's wonderful that you've done your work, because that's a major part of what Yolanda does with people. She allows them to look at the shadow parts of who they are and to address those issues. So, again, I see people on the board now. So if anyone would like to ask Yolanda a question or make a comment, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Excuse me. So you mentioned that you...
And it took me some time to get here. After about 3 or 4 years of studying and about 10 years altogether and applying it, I am comfortable with myself to be able to be this transparent. But that's also part of my purpose. I am a Scorpio rising, Capricorn sun, Gemini moon, and Pisces north node. So I am absolutely clear that I came here to share messages with people with passion and love and intensity, and an unconditional love and compassion, and that's what I do, you know. But that's me and how I'm wired. So am I expecting that everybody's going to be walking around here like a open book? No, but I do want everybody to be comfortable with and aligned with who they are and what they came here to do. You know, there's a lot of great teachers out there that are just not teaching. There's a lot of great workers. There's a lot of great entrepreneurs. There's a lot of great inventors. There's just innovators. It's just the spirit of individuals who are not aligned, and we're missing that energy in our community. You know, there's people who love, there's a woman who has been cleaning for my family for, it has to be at least 20 years. It's been over 20 years. She still cleans here for my mother and my sister. She loves to clean. Cleaning is therapeutic for her, like that. She loves it. She lights up like a Christmas tree after she finishes every house or office or what have you. You know, who are we to say something to somebody like that, that that's not a dignified career path or purpose in life? You know, there's people who love to do hair. There's people who love to bake. There's people who love to sew and create and, you know, just all these wonderful, amazing, divine things. And they're working in factories or they're working for some telephone company or, you know, they're doing things that other people have conditioned them to believe is a better way to live than the one that's on their heart. And people are suffering. They're suffering because they're not in alignment with what they're passionate about. They're suffering in these relationships. We call the book, Dear Yvette, Shattered Fairy Tales, because a lot of the pain and anguish that we experience in our lives is because we're trying to live up to the fairy tale of the knight in shining armor who's going to live with us happily ever after. Or, you know, you go to school and you get these college degrees and you're going to live happily ever after. You're not going to worry about money and stress and strife. You know, all these tales that we have subscribed to, you know, that our friends are going to be our friends forever. We're going to start off as Girl Scouts and grow old together, and then dissension happens, and we don't know how to handle it. We spend so much time trying to live up to or subscribe to these fairy tales that it takes us away from the reality in our own life. And the reality is your life might look like this instead. Your life was designed to go like that instead. And what makes the Tyler Perrys of the world themselves is the route and the journey that they took. The Oprahs of the world, her route that she took. Like, no, and I love, you know, paying attention to or watching or listening to the documentaries of successful people. They come with all kinds of bumps and bruises. You know, their journey is wound into all sorts of valleys and hills and mountains. And I believe that that's the way of life. Like, there is no constant happily ever after. There is, it doesn't exist. It's a fairy tale. But because we think if we get this kind of car and we live in this kind of neighborhood, we marry this kind of person, we have these kind of kids, that we're going to be closer to the happily ever after than the person who didn't. And I have so, my ex-husband has a PhD in astrophysics.
Wow.
Some of my good friends have multiple degrees and multiple things. And they're not happy. They're still looking. With a PhD in astrophysics, what brings my ex-husband joy, who I happen to be we're really good friends. In fact, he's here in my hometown, and I was just with him yesterday. We're just really good friends. What brings him joy is bees. He has bee farms all over the city and farming and things like that, things that did not require 20 years of education. And it wasn't until, you know, after working for NASA and doing all these big things that he was able to really reconnect himself to what brings him joy. And sometimes the pressure of the fairy tale, which is what happened with he and I could be honest about that, the pressure of the fairy tale says, you got a PhD working in that yard with them chickens and them bee farms ain't bringing no money in. You need to go to work. But working in that yard with that farm with those animals and those beehives is what brought him joy.
Exactly.
And I didn't have enough understanding then to recognize that he was living on task, that that was his purpose, that is his passion. I was too caught up in the fairy tale that says, I married you because you were going to support and take care of me and us and provide for us. And totally took him off task with his spirit. But today we're very good friends because we've both grown to know the importance of being in alignment and on task with your spirit, you know, on task, on your soul's task. And I wish that for other people. This is a joy like no other, to be in a space where you can fully accept another person. And it only happens because you can fully accept yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent the last 20 years working in the music industry. No one could have paid me nobody could have convinced me that my life would be about empowering women from this perspective. Like, this is so far from my radar, it's not even funny. But this is where I get my joy.
I think you mentioned something that's so important. Because a lot of people are doing things that are not in alignment with their heart's desire. And they're doing things because their parents wanted them to do it. I used to be in charge of minority affairs at Harvard Medical School. And people would get the degree and give it basically to their parents because that wasn't something that they wanted. It was something that they did because of the prestige. Someone recently who wants to be a doctor, and in talking to this person, everything this person loves to do is not part of medicine for the most part. And so I've questioned a person to say, you know, it seems as though you're connected to it for the prestige. And the person won't, you know, he really has to sit down and just crystallize what really is his soul's purpose, because he seems to be scattered in terms of that. But people get into things and do things not because of a burning desire sometimes, but because mom or dad wants them to do it, or society, or it looks good to say you're a doctor this, or attorney this, or whatever. You're a basketball star or an actress, or you're the next Tyler Perry, and you don't have a passion for it. You're doing it just for either for the money or for the prestige or for the recognition. And you're right, there are people who are doing things and they're not in alignment. So they make the money, but they're not happy. And then when you get into alignment, then things really begin to flow. They start to flow, and things become effortless. You don't have to pull at it or make it happen.
I say that I am the poster child for easily and effortless.
How so?
Because I've learned to pull back. I've learned to surrender. I'm learning to master the art of surrender. And when you surrender, things become easy and effortless. And if people just knew that, I mean, trying to ascribe to something that's really not for you is what brings all the anxiety and all of the dis-ease and all of the chaos and confusion, because the universe is trying to say, that's not for you. You can't fit that circle into that square. It's just not going to work. But because we have judged or applied the judgment of prestige over here, like one of the things that I cannot stand, and I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but I am, is the talented tense. That drives me bonkers. And my son went to Morehouse, and I've heard that more than I desire. But at the end of the day, we all are talented. You just have to know, and you have to believe it.
Exactly.
And don't allow someone to say you might be or you're not, because you're not doing what they think that you should do. I love watching Super Soul Sunday. I mean, I'm a dedicated, devoted fan of Super Soul Sunday. People know mm-hmm. not to call me on Sunday between 10 and 2. I mean, 10 and noon.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the owner of Whole Foods, who I had judged, by the way, because I love watching documentaries on successful entrepreneurs. And he was not mm-hmm. on my I desire, you know, I love him list, because I had judged that they would be snooty because of how expensive and exclusive Whole Foods can appear to be. I had judged it to be. And I was so delighted to sit and listen to John Mackey in that interview. It changed my life. It really just shifted me on I've grown to another level in terms of releasing judgment. Because he talked about having dropped out of college. He talked about always wanting, you know, this burning desire of always wanting to provide people with healthy foods to eat, that people deserve to eat good, healthy foods for their body, their mind, their system. And, you know, starting off in those co-ops and building it into a grocery store only to have it ravaged by storm and destroyed, literally, and having to start over. And by the time he got to his third or fourth store, his mother was dying of cancer, and on her deathbed, she told him he was more than just a grocer, that do her a favor and go back to school and finish her degree and get and have a respectable career in a field like, you know, attorney or accountant or something like that. And he said, no, I am a grocer. And I just jumped off of my couch with joy, like, yes. I mean, it takes that level of knowing yourself and loving yourself and being dedicated to your heart's desires to be able to say that to your mother who is dying right before your eyes and you love her so much, but you're not willing to not love you in order to share in that love. And as a result, he's a multimillionaire with stores all around the country. And even he has grown consciously from these experiences. So it's like, you know, give ourselves permission to love ourselves enough to do what we desire to do, what brings us joy and excitement, is tugging at our heart to change in this world, in this universe. And the minute we do that, we have phenomenal success. I am ready and open to receive phenomenal success because I've finally given myself permission to do what I want to do, to do what I feel brings my life joy and is a contribution to the rest of everybody else's lives that I come in contact with.
So
it's about us getting to that space.
If
we could all get to that space, we would. I say that the shift is already happening, just like you said before. But we are either willing to shift, we make a conscious choice to participate in the shift, or we are shifting. And a lot of what's going on.
And you're like dynamite.
People being shifted. Going to move. You're going to move one way or the other. You can choose to move or you're going to be moved. And trust me, it's easier to make the choice. It's easier to surrender to the choice to shift.
Yeah, it really is. Most people don't want to do that because you want to be given guarantees. If I give this up, what will show up in its place? And nothing is guaranteed. You just have to let go and trust. And that's the hardest thing.
That's right. I mean, I would have never thought I'd be divorced. I was homeless immediately. It's like I signed the paper to divorce, and before the ink could dry, I was homeless because I have members in my family that were supporting me at the time who did not agree with the divorce. They felt like nobody believed that I should have got divorced. They felt like my husband was the best thing that ever happened to me, which is true on many levels, but his soul was going in one direction and my soul was going into another. And because we loved each other so much, we honored that. And they didn't understand that because they hadn't been taught what that was like. But the beauty for me is that my ex-husband attended the Institute with me. So he understood.
Wow.
Yeah, we were in one of the largest classes that Ayanla had at the time, and he was the only male. And
wow.
So imagine, you know, the blessing in that in terms of growth. And so we understood, we had a universal or spiritual understanding, but my family members didn't have it. And many of them pulled the rugs underneath me. They were, you know, it's not even about blaming them because I recognized it instantly as a divine assignment.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into this homeless shelter program for female veterans because I used to be in the military. And it's just an amazing thing. My mother, once she got clean, for the past 20-something years, has been working as a program coordinator inside of a homeless day shelter. It's like it's a food where they feed people and provide clothing and resources and stuff for people. So I've been familiar with this community for as long as my mother's been working in, and she passionately works in it. She's very good in her position because she can identify with many of the people coming through there because of her past. So I don't have anything against people in homelessness. I just never thought in a million years I'd be on that side of it. But because I had some experience with it, when I got on that side, I was so pleasantly surprised, and I was blessed. I was blessed because I got a chance to come in contact with other women who were a lot like me. They had just got caught in the shift. You know, it was the heart of the recession. Many of them had lost their jobs and therefore their homes and were striving to keep their families intact. I was in the program with a celebrity fitness trainer. I was in the program with a professional songwriter. I was in a program with a massage therapist. And, you know, these were women who were passionately living their lives before the shift happened. And it took a lot of the judgment and a lot of the steam off of my perception of those kind of people once I became one of those people. I instantly saw it as a divine assignment. And as the universe would have it, I was the last veteran to enter into a 2-year program and the first one out.
Wow.
Many of the ladies spent the whole 2 years there. I was only there for 3 months before I got my own place because every day I got up and I hit that pavement after doing my meditations, after doing my affirmations. I had done my vision boards. I was using Ayanla's. One day my soul just opened up. Every day I would go through a day. I did the 40-day process while I was there, and I was high. I was high internally off of life, and I was just open to receive, and I was optimistic about everything. And everything that I set myself out to do, I accomplished. Everything.
Mm.
So even after being told over and over, you can't do this, you won't be able to do that, you can't. I was just like, okay. And I, you know, but I stayed firm with my own practices, and everything that I desired manifested and gave me an opportunity to then share with the other women and those programs how you can manifest your dreams and desires too. Just because you're in this program or you're part of the system doesn't mean you can't tap into your own inner system. You know, create your own inner plans for your life and manifest your own desires for yourself. And a lot of them began to do a lot of the same work. In fact, I ended up creating, once I got out of the program, weekly, I don't know, it was a team of us. We got the book, the Ayanla, One Day My Soul Just Opened Up, and like a mastermind group around it, and we would do it, and they started manifesting stuff in their lives. There's no, I always tell people, nobody can finish the 40 days in that book and not have a miraculous change of some kind at the end of it. It's one of the best books I think Iyanla ever put out, and that's the book that her and her daughter Jamia did together before Jamia passed away. The powerful, powerful, powerful tool to transform your life. Powerful. And, you know, so I'm just here to share with people, it's not as hard as we think it is, and you have to shift. As we're like trees that grow up and branch out. There is no staying the same. It's just not going to happen.
That's very true. That's very, very, very true. I mean, you're sharing with us some really powerful tools of wisdom. And as you said before, you were able to pull these tools together for yourself. And now, what you're saying is so very important, because I've gone through some similar things in terms of my financial picture shifting very quickly. I have 2 Ivy League degrees. I'm very intelligent, very smart. And the bottom fell out. And it has nothing to do with intelligence, because we're programmed to believe if you go to the right schools, if you live in the right zip code, if you do all these external things, then you are assured financial security. That did not happen. I did all the things I was supposed to do, and the bottom still fell out, and people made judgments. I mean, I've had people say some very interesting things to me. Now I've recovered everything, and I was blessed not to be without a place to stay. And I had 4 animals, 3 cats and a dog. And people showed up in very interesting ways. People that I didn't know well were right there for me, and some people that could have did not. And that was a painful lesson for me to look at. And then there were other people, like I said, I don't self-disclose except when I know it's going to serve a purpose, because there were people from my former hometown, one particular person with whom I was close, whom I know just, you know, gossiped about it. And that was painful. But I've since moved past that, and I now have a testimony, like how you're talking to people. Mm-hmm. I can talk to women and say, you can go to Harvard like I did. You can go to Cornell like I did. You can go to all of these wonderful institutions. You can have your practice and your businesses like I did. And the bottom can still fall out, like with the Yama. It can still fall out. And what do you do? And you have to be very clear that you are not your circumstances, that those things have nothing to do with the core of who you are. They're just external things. And now, having come through all of that myself, like I said, I was blessed that I always had shelter, but it came very close, very close. I mean, literally, sometimes like the minute before midnight and something would open up. But what I now have seen, several things. One is that I am greater than my circumstances. The God in me has me know that. There is no circumstance that I cannot overcome, as long as I stay focused on that spiritual essence and presence within. And the second thing was that I now have a testimony to share with people, primarily women, that despite what society tells you in terms of getting all of these external things in place, that's not the core of who you are. The core of who you are never changes. And to always go back to knowing that, and to go back to understanding that and relying upon that, because the other things, you have no control over whether someone is going to hire you or fire you. You have control metaphysically up to a point, but it's still their job to hire you or fire you. You have no control over people's attitudes. You can script how you want them or visualize how you want to be treated, but still at the end of the day, they have to choose to be in compliance with that. So, and I came out of this whole experience knowing, Yolanda, that there's nothing that anyone can say to me to be a trigger in terms of my finances anymore. I've had the house, the 5-bedroom, 4-bath house. I've had the luxury car. the Lexus. I've gone to the Ivy League schools. I've traveled. So no one can come to me to dangle those things in front of me as a carrot. And no one can tell me or look at my bank account or look at me now and determine who what my worth is, because I'm now in a very, very secure place within myself to say, okay, those things did not define who I am. I've had those things. My peace was something that I never would give up. My integrity was something I would never give up. You can take the material things, or they can fall along the wayside. So now my testimony to women is, when they tell me certain things, they say, oh, yeah, I've experienced that, maybe not to that extent. The physical abuse was something that I did not experience, but the financial piece, oh, yeah. But I never allowed people to get into my headspace, my energetic field, to make me feel less than. So, and that's what the society is very good in doing, judging people and having people feel less than. So they accept ill treatment because they feel like, okay, I don't have a choice. I don't have any alternative but to accept this. And I think what you're saying, which is so powerful with your journey, is no, you're not your circumstances. You're broader, you're greater than your circumstances. I think this is really, really, really wonderful. Let me just have people. If you would like to talk with Yolanda this evening, please call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Let's talk about your Red Panty Society teleseminars. How can a woman find out more about that, and how can she participate?
The Let's Talk Red series, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, they can go to the website, which is www.theredpantysociety.org. That's theredpantysociety.org. And on the home page, when you scroll down a bit, you'll see the section with our Red Advisors, which is yourself, an amazing psychotherapist, Dr. Damon Jones, an amazing naturopathic physician, Coach Wilma Lee, who also studied under Iyanla and is amazing, amazing life coach, as well as Coach Kim Kennedy, who has been coaching me for years. She's an amazing radical forgiveness coach and success coach. She specializes in radical forgiveness and success coaching. And basically, you, Professor Jamila Franklin, and the other ladies have lended yourself to being able to be available to women who are ready to take that leap to evolve their lives to the next level. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes people have questions, and we already talked about the judgment and the stereotype of receiving some type of help or therapy. And so we created the Red Advisors to hopefully allow women to embrace getting the help in a loving, compassionate kind of way. So on the website, it says if you have questions, they have answers. So women can go to the website and for free submit any questions that will go directly to the Red Advisor that they're interested in engaging with, and it will be all kept confidential. And they'll do some free work up to a point, but then there is a cost. But I would tell you that the work that I'm offering, I've done on myself. I've worked with a psychotherapist. I've worked with a life coach. I've worked with a naturopathic doctor. I've done the radical forgiveness. And I've paid for it all, and it got me to where I am today. It was the best investment in myself I've ever made, from Iyanla until now. I still pay for services as needed. I can go to meditation. I get body work. I mean, the whole gamut. So
mm-hmm.
the Red Advisors were set up as an opportunity to introduce women who follow the Red Panty Society to take that step to begin to evolve their own lives. And it's painless,
mm-hmm.
and it's priceless in terms
mm-hmm.
of being able to find yourself in a position that you've always desired to be in. The concept for me came from, because I watch so much documentaries, so many documentaries on successful people and
mm-hmm.
how they run their companies and how the upper level management is evolved, I realized the difference, the only difference between the people who have the lives that they always desired and the ones who don't is that personal or professional development. Like, those people didn't roll out of bed one day and, you know, just began to live these great careers. They evolved into that greatness, and it was through development that that allowed them to become great. So I just desire to share that same concept with the general public. You
mm-hmm.
want to be great? Develop your greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Allow yourself to release some of the pain and the anguish from the past. Just allow yourself to release the past altogether, and whatever heat or negativity may be connected to that, so that you can make room to become your greater self, your highest and greatest self. And women like you are passionate and prepared professionally to support women that are ready to make that leap in their lives. And there the idea of the Red Advisors was born by way of the Red Panty Society followers.
Mm.
So each week, starting yesterday with our first conversation, we have a segment called Let's Talk Red. And each week we'll feature a different Red Advisor who will come on and have a one-hour conversation via YouTube that they can connect to through our website in the Let's Talk Red section. And they can engage you guys. They can ask you questions. They can hear all the great stuff that you have to offer in terms of the good secrets. Like, I know you do aromatherapy and you do you're a psychotherapist and you do a lot of work with the mind and the body and, you know, all those fun things that people can do to sustain their mental health and to evolve themselves physically and mentally to the next level as a race in their lives. And so, you know, just great, passionate, fun information that these professional women come forth to share with this group of women who are ready to take their lives to the next level.
Hmm. Wow. I'm really excited about the opportunity to work with women and to be supportive of them and to answer as best I can any questions that they may have regarding their personal journeys, life's journeys. That's one of the things, a book that I always tell people to read is called The Game of Life and How to Play It by Florence Scovel Shinn. She was one of the New Thought ministers during the 1920s before the Unity Church became the institution that it is. And her book is very, 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 very powerful. It's called The Game of Life and How to Play It. You can also get it as an audio book. It's based on metaphysical principles, and it shows people how when we don't get the things we desire, it's because we don't understand the metaphysical and spiritual rules. And once we understand them, then our life flows seamlessly. So, and that's one of the purposes I would like to serve as an advisor, to show women how they can face any seeming challenge or adversity and rise up above it, because Once you know the tools, like you mentioned before, in terms of the tools that you've been able to secure through Inner Visions, and which is Yama's Institute, then people can just move forward. And this life then becomes mm-hmm. a joy rather than a chore. And most people, and mm-hmm. I felt that way at times, that it was a chore, not joyful. So it changes, it shifts.
And some of it is so simple. Some of these processes are, like you, it's almost, in the beginning it was hard for me to believe, like I read Iyanla's book, Tapping the Power Within. And,
right.
you know, she gave a lot of aromatherapy secrets in that book. She talked about breath work in that book and meditation, doing sweat lodges, a little bit of everything. She just kind of gave you bits and pieces of what she had done to, mm-hmm. You know, enter her journey of spirituality. And I just started tinkering with, like, some of the oils, for instance. And mm-hmm. I remember my daughter catching a cold and me running back to that book and getting a concoction with the basil and all that kind of stuff and using it, and it worked. And then using the peppermint for something else and using the orange, you know, to brighten up the energy in my house and things of that nature. And so now as I go out into the public to do the empowerment work, which I tend to go into some areas that can be very depressing. There's a very depressive energy present. I come with my orange oil and my ginger oil, and mm-hmm. I spruce my office up with certain colors and scents, and when people hit that door to my office, they just light up like Christmas trees. Now, they could have just gotten to a fight in the hallway or just been crying.
Mm-hmm.
on their way there, but it's a whole different energy present. And those are little simple things that I learned, you know, on this journey that I could do. And when we understand that it doesn't take brain surgery or heart surgery
right.
or soul surgery in order for us to change our lives and our minds and our thinking, more people, I believe, will be willing to embrace the simple tools that just allow us to move through our day-to-day as we interact
mm-hmm.
with other people, as we transition from that past into our future. You know, just the simple things, the breath work. You know, I'm just starting to do a lot of interviews now that we have the book and, you know, we're releasing and taking the Red Panty Society to the next level. And I get nervous sometimes, so I do tapping. I do the EFT beforehand. I do some
mm-hmm.
breath work, you know, since I've been home, and I'm used to doing meditation, which is where I met you. I have
mm-hmm.
since found a meditation church to kind of feel my, you know, and it just, these new experiences open me up to new people and opportunities, and, you know, and it just keeps me solid, keeps me stable as I embark on my heart's desires. And that's what I want
mm-hmm.
women to know. I promise you, it is not as hard as many of us think. We're just so
right.
used to
right.
and almost addicted to what we know as the norm, that there's this huge fear of trying something different. But just to have the courage to step out on faith and
mm-hmm.
surrender to the difference, I promise you, well, you'll never look back. It'll take your
mm-hmm.
life and change it for the better. And that's why I have you and the other Red Advisors to give out those simple tips and those words of encouragement and those tools and those processes that will help other women better themselves so that that our pool of enlightened becomes just bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You'll look up and there won't be a lot of the crisis that we're so accustomed to, because there will be more stronger minds and stronger hearts and more confident people loving
mm-hmm.
themselves, which diminishes the need for crisis.
Right.
And dis-ease
right.
and all that thing.
Right. It's very true. Very true. And as you said, our we become addicted after a while to situations with drama and karma because we don't want to listen and let go. So when we listen and let go, then those other things fall on the wayside, and they become effortless. It becomes effortless. But as long as we're trying to figure things out, then spirit is not involved. And spirit will allow you, the infinite source will allow you to fix it. And you can't fix it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you say, well, okay, you want to handle it, I'll turn it over to you. And then it becomes a struggle. And like what you said, I loved, said in terms of your life now is one of, it's effortless. It's effortless.
Mm-hmm. The resources just show up.
Yeah, they do. They do, and the opportunities show up. And everything,
the opportunities just show up. The people just show up. The team of women that showed up in my life to support me in writing this book are incredible. They're from they're different age groups, different walks of life, different parts of the country. Some I knew, some I didn't know. And when I tell you, first of all, the biggest feat was the fact that five black women were coming together to write a story.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first, people were raising their eyebrows like, well, we're going to see how y'all do with that. Not only were we able to come together, the energy, the chemistry, the vibration, the flow became easy and effortless. Like everybody just had their own flavor, their own lane, their own talent and gift that they brought. Like one brought emotion, one brought inspiration, one brought information, one brought all of that together in narration. It was beautiful. And the experience was such a blessing because for forever we've always heard that, one, we can't work together, and two, that we don't. And we worked together so well. It was, this whole process was such a blessing. And so Red Panty Society really is about highlighting the collective, highlighting how we really do work together well. And we really can. And we, you know, instead of telling people that, we're going to just do it. I just got a call yesterday, another amazing sister out of Atlanta. She's like, let's team up and do and highlight even more women. And I'm like, I love it. The cover to the book is a picture or a graphic of a faceless female up in front of a microphone. And that's because it's time for us to tell our stories. When we start telling how we made it over, then other women become empowered and begin to make it over. We keep talking about this disconnect between the generations. The young girls do this and the young men are doing that. Well, we got to start talking about how we stopped doing those things or how we avoided doing those things or how we overcame doing those things so that they can have the tools to do better. But we can't keep talking about them, and we can't keep judging them, and we can't keep making them separate from us. We have to share. It's time for women to share so that we get to tell the stories now.
Exactly. I love it. It's so true. It's so
true. Turning history into her story.
That's right. I love it. No, I love it. You and Ed, I love the way that you kind of like spin yarns, you know, in conveying this wonderful information. I just love it. And you put it in a way in which it's just so down to earth and just so comforting and just all of that.
Thank you.
I just love it.
One thing that I learned about myself, and I like to ask women to, my mission is to get women to be able to define who they are with their I am statement. I am love. That's the one thing that I have been all of my life is love. And so I seek to bring love. I seek to seek to be loved. I am loved because I am loved. And and I hope that that's what you feel in this conversation and in this movement and within this mission to evolve us to our highest and greatest good is the love that is present to support us every step of the way.
That is so true. That is so true. You know, you're just such a blessing to women, for me, and just talking with you. It's just like sitting in the living room, sipping some tea and having a chat with you. It's not pedantic. It's not, you know, it's not full of a lot of little witticisms. It's not full of academic talk. It's just like two girlfriends having a chat in front of the fireplace or out on the back porch.
Yeah.
And on a cool summer day, and just chatting about life and empowering each other. I love it.
It's healing time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that tea is healing, that conversation is healing, and that present love amongst girlfriends is always healing.
It really is. And I think I was wanting to share some things with some people about how I overcame. And I have to stop because they keep hearing what I'm not saying. When I talk about all the things that the universe has helped me overcome, don't repeat that. You're stuck in the story, I said, stop it, Jamila. Because they're not hearing what you're saying. They're bringing their own stuff to it. And sometimes women need to get, and sometimes it can be cultural too. Sometimes women need to step out of their stuff and truly hear what you're saying and not overlay it with their stuff, which maybe they are stuck in the story. Because you have, in order to empower women, you have to talk about what's going on. It's not being stuck in a story. It's helping them overcome the story. So not talking about it, period, will repeat the cycle because you don't know how to get out of it. If you're not allowed to talk about it, how can you then develop the tools to get out of it? And I've seen in a particular setting in which I've been involved, when I've wanted to share my triumphs they and talk about how far I've come, they don't hear that part. They hear, you're recreating. I'm like, I'm not recreating because there's no passion about the old story. It's like looking at a movie. It's just a fact that happened, right? But the passion is what recreates the story. It's not your telling of it.
Right.
It's the passion connected to it. That's the energy. So sometimes, and that's what I was saying before, sometimes I know what to say to whom because they can't, because that's how they envision the world. So they assume that everyone else is where they are with that and everyone isn't. With a lot of women, particularly African-American women, a lot of times we're not stuck in the story. We're just so thankful to the Creator that we were able to get an alignment and overcome. So we're telling the whole story because that's what we're talking about it from a place of triumph, not from a place of victimization. And I'm seeing that in a particular situation. I said, you can't share this because this person, that's how she views it and that's where she would be, but that's not where I am with it. But rather than defending my position, I said, okay. Because it's not about defending it. I said, because she would not hear it. And then my defending it in her head would present itself as, okay, yeah, you're definitely stuck in the story, and now you're trying to defend being stuck in the story. So I'd leave it alone. I said, okay, I can't share that part. Because they don't get it. They don't get it. It's not being stuck. And so having your group is so wonderful because you're providing a safe place for people to know that they can share their story and not be judged, and they can hear the merit in it and of it. You know,
We wrote the book, Dear Yvette, Shattered Fairy Tales, which is an urban girl's journey to self-love and acceptance, which is powered by forgiveness. We wrote it in a way that the reader really gets a chance to do their own self-check, their own self-work, mm-hmm. even though they're traveling through the main character's story for that very reason that you just talked about. So, because sometimes it's easier for people to come out of their stuff into somebody else's stuff. That's why gossiping and chaos is so fervent in our in the society. But we did it in a way that instead of, even though you think you're taking this voyeuristic view through somebody else's life, you're really working on your own.
Yeah.
And the psychotherapist named Penn Sidnor Campbell out of Philadelphia that I wrote the book with did a really good job in, as well as the other writers, and pulling together an opportunity for women to do work on themselves when they, in the midst of thinking that they're really journeying through somebody else's stuff. One of the things that the writers were surprised at as we were excavating all my stuff is the fact that I wasn't connected to it, that there wasn't a whole bunch of heat and passion still existing.
Right.
That's because I've done 10 years worth of work. And so they will be crying, or sometimes they will be having emotional effects by what was being written. And they would be surprised that I wasn't involved in all of that, but that's because I've evolved in all the work that I've done. So it's very possible for you to have a conversation about overcoming your triumph and not be retelling the story from an addicted,
recycling
perspective. Yes.
Exactly. But my talking to this person who is like an elder, she doesn't get it, so and I can see she can't move beyond her perception of that. So I've chosen to leave that alone because I know she won't get it. And you know, she's well of one race, but you know, she's Caucasian, so she wouldn't. She doesn't get it. Every time I present it, she doesn't get it. And I said, okay, let me just step back from this, because sometimes things do have a cultural base, and sometimes people cannot get beyond their cultural biases, even though they try, because they're not really present, and they can't really hear from the heart chakra. They're hearing from another perspective. And that's why I tell my students when I teach psychology, it's very important for you to step out of you, because to be present for people, to hear it, hear what they're truly saying to you as opposed to what you think they're saying. Because people will usually tell you exactly what it is, and we don't have to interpret it. They will usually tell you if we just step out of it and listen. And you're providing a safe space for women to tell their stories, because I know as a person who's a psychotherapist and has her own counseling practice, some people who are not culturally sensitive will shut them down. They would not be able to work through this. And I'm talking about people with metaphysical, because that's what I'm talking about now with this particular person. They would shut them down because they're bringing their own stuff. Oh, no, you can't talk about it. You're recreating the story, and they're not. And you can't heal that which you don't. You can't heal the shadow parts of yourself if you don't bring them to light. You cannot heal it. So you keep skating
through
life. And
there's some cultures who don't expect us to be able to heal. We have been... African Americans have been written off in a sense as it relates to being able to fully evolve into our whole and complete self. We've been written off in a sense that we've been through so much pain and so much anguish, and we're so angry and we're so bitter that there's just not a whole lot of hope in terms of us overcoming that. Now, we're good at figuring out how to maneuver in the midst of all that, but the idea of us fully overcoming that, we haven't been given a lot of credit for that ability, and there isn't therefore a high expectation for that. It's like the expectation is that's just how they are. No, we have the same ability and capabilities to evolve and shine as everyone else, and I'm talking authentically. I'm not talking shine with a face because we have the credentials, but shine because it's in our heart and we're right on task and in alignment with where we're supposed to be. And I think we're going to be the generation that's going to show, that's probably our part of the shift, as being able to show what we look like on the other side of
mm-hmm.
the past.
Mm-hmm. And I so appreciate this. And we're wrapping it up. And for, you,
okay.
for Yolanda, give people contact information because the show will go off the air in about 10 seconds. But give us
the RedPantsySociety.org is where we can be reached. You can also purchase our book, Dear Yvette, Shattered Fairy Tales, there, right there on the site. We're running a summer special for only $2.20 to download the ebook.
Well, thank you so much, beloved, and we really appreciate it. And for those of you who would like to get in touch with you, Yolanda, she gave you the information, and we are so pleased that you were able to join us this evening. And until next time, please, please be safe and have a wonderful week.
Ashe.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today